Today on Tax Justice Warriors, I am going to be focusing on late filing of tax returns and some other recent tax news. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I am your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
I have been receiving different articles on tax news that I wanted to share with you. To begin with, there was a recent report regarding further developments of the House Ways and Means Committee trying to get the tax returns from President Trump. And the article looked at the previous history of President Nixon, that Congress previously investigated President Nixon's tax returns, and he wound up being audited. At first, he was voluntarily submitting his tax returns on asking Congress to review, that is, the Joint Committee on Internal Revenue Taxation, looking at two transactions reported on his returns, the donation of his papers to the National Archives and the sale of real estate within San Clemente, California, that when President Nixon submitted his tax returns, he did for years 1969 through 1972, and the committee decided to examine everything on the tax returns for those four tax years. And they eventually concluded that he made serious mistakes on his returns, suggesting that he owed $476,431 in unpaid taxes and accrued interest. Now, some of the points of the article are that Congress previously investigated the tax returns of a sitting president. They did that on their own terms, that they were unconstrained by the president, and that the IRS complied quickly and completely with congressional requests for the tax returns, even when extending beyond the president's voluntary disclosure. So I would agree that there is precedent set by what happened with President Nixon, and potentially that gives powers to the current Ways and Means Committee to be investigating President Trump. But I would also admit that this has become a political fight, that there are lines drawn between Republicans and Democrats on just what this investigation is. So once again, we will have to wait and see what the result of this investigation will be, and only time will tell what the results will be. Next, I came across an article providing the summary of a Congressional Research Service report regarding behavioral economics, IRS letter campaigns, and tax compliance. Basically, what the article is saying is that by the IRS looking at behavioral economics, they could craft their letters better and increase tax compliance by the public. One of the interesting focuses is that in the United Kingdom, they've sent out different series of letters. One of the options was that 9 out of 10 people pay their tax on time, the basic norm. 9 out of 10 people in the United Kingdom pay their tax on time, the country norm. Or 9 out of 10 people in the United Kingdom pay their tax on time. You are currently in the very small minority of people who have not paid us yet, the minority norm. And within the study, they found that those in the minority norm were the most compliant on paying their taxes after sending out the letter. And one result from the study was determining that people want to be in compliance compared to their peers, basically showing that no one wants to be compared and found to be doing worse than their peers, so looking at their self-image related to everyone else. I'm going to dig into this study a little bit more personally and see if there are more insights I can take from this. I do have some involvement with a notices panel at the October American Bar Association fall meeting in San Francisco, so I am going to see if there's anything I can take from this and apply to what is used within that panel. Now, next, I'm going to turn to some news that is also a little political, but I think it is a little humorous, so hopefully It adds a little humor and fun to listening to this episode. The article is titled, Haverford College Student Pleads Guilty to Attempt to Access President Trump's Tax Information. Justin Heimstra, H-I-E-M-S-T-R-A, he is 22 years old from St. Paul Park, Minnesota, that he entered a guilty plea in U.S. District Court on charges related to violations by using a school computer and someone else's username without that person's permission in an attempt to illegally obtain President Trump's tax returns from the IRS. The student and one other at the Haverford College, they were using computers at the school's computer lab, and the FAFSA, the Free Application for Student Aid website, that they made a false FAFSA application in the name of one of the members of the Trump family. They found that someone else had already obtained a username and password for Donald Trump. In order to reset the password, they were prompted to answer challenge questions, which were already created when setting up the account. The individual in question, he was able to answer the questions and reset the password and used the president's personal identifier information, including his social security number and date of birth, to attempt to import the president's federal tax information into the bogus FAFSA application, but ultimately that attempt failed. So U.S. Attorney William McSwain is quoted as saying, no matter what you think about the president's tax returns, clearly this kind of illegal activity cannot be tolerated or condoned. Unauthorized or false attempts to obtain any citizen's IRS filings are a serious violation of privacy rights and a federal crime, and there's nothing funny about it. Now this defendant is being held accountable for his actions, as he should be. The case was investigated by the Department of Education, Office of Inspector General, and TIGTA, and being prosecuted by Assistant U.S. Attorney Anthony Wzorek, W-Z-O-R-E-K. Now, next, I wanted to turn to some personal news. I was involved in the tax practitioner speaker panel this week before a group of revenue officer trainees. It is my understanding this is the first group of revenue officer trainees in several years. So they have opened up the training for these revenue officers in several waves. And I've been invited to speak with them, answering questions at the Kansas City campus of the IRS, the processing center. And I was part of a panel of three practitioners. I represented the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, and we got to speak about our expectations of the IRS and what they should be expecting of us and our clients. I will say that one of the key items that reassured them was that we do agree with and support that our clients get compliant with their tax filing. So that is reassuring for them, and they were open to hearing what we had to say. So I will likely go more in depth about that information next week, but I thought it was a great opportunity to give my feedback to the IRS and perhaps help some revenue officers to be a little more taxpayer friendly in the future. Also, events are proceeding forward for the Collection Due Process Summit initiatives. We have had some conference calls generating discussion. There are the panels coming up at the October American Bar Association Fall Tax Section meeting and at the December Low Income Taxpayer Representation Workshop. There will be a panel at the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Workshop. So preparations continue for that, and I will likely be having episodes to promote that and hopefully getting some interviews with some of the people involved. Now, the other main piece I wanted to focus on for this episode is, what is the big issue about late filing of your taxes? There was an article sent out by Caleb Smith that will be coming up regarding designated orders on the Procedurally Taxing blog site. And looking within that, he commented on the difference between filing late or just filing on time and not paying the taxes in full, that I realize this can be a concern for taxpayers that they might see a large tax bill when it comes to the tax filing season and just think, oh, it's better not to file taxes at all rather than just file the tax return and the IRS knows what my issue is. With what Caleb was saying is that taxes and penalties quickly cascade when there are errors on the return and it was late filed. That to begin with, the failure to file penalty in Code Section 6651A1 is much quicker to increase your bill than just filing without paying. That the penalty accrues at a 5% monthly rate to a maximum of 25% rather than the half a percent rate for failing to pay. And then also the amount of tax that the failure to file penalty is multiplied against is the amount required to be shown on the return as compared to what you actually report on your tax return. So if the taxpayer is audited at a later time, the IRS can retroactively bump the penalty quite a bit depending on how much was underreported. So he is saying that he doesn't find any benefit to filing late, even if you get out of the late payment penalties. So for example, if you're going to get out of your penalties regarding reasonable cause, that there needs to be a very good reason, and you have to be able to demonstrate that you exercised ordinary business care and prudence. So one citation is Boyle v. Commissioner, a U.S. tax court case from 1985. So overall, that is one of the things that I would tell my clients who have a question about whether and when to file their tax return that they're going to owe on, that yes, they should file on time whether they are going to have a tax liability or not, that filing late just adds the late penalty, and as Caleb has pointed out, that accrues at a much faster rate than just failing to pay the tax return. So I would always guide clients to be compliant in filing the tax returns, that even if they are not able to pay the tax returns, it is a much better situation for them. Now, I understand the especially low-income clients cannot always pay to get the tax returns filed, but it is certainly better to get the tax returns turned in to the IRS and have lower penalties and interest accruing than having a larger amount to deal with in the future. So overall, I hope that is a helpful hint. I hope that you got some good tax news out of this episode, and I want to thank you once again for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.